Hey, this is Leo for Actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to rant against naive realism and materialism because reality is not physical. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. A quote by Arthur C. Clarke. I was going to speak on another topic today, but I felt in a ranty mood. I was a little pissy, and so I felt like this would be the perfect time for a nice old-fashioned rant. So here we go. Let's define first, though, what naive realism is, and what materialism is, and what physicalism is. These are all synonyms for the same basic worldview or the same basic paradigm. And what I want to help you do here is I want to really get you to reevaluate some very core fundamental metaphysical assumptions that you make about reality, because this can set your mind free to go and do some much deeper work and get some amazing results from that. So what is naive realism? It's basically the everyday normal conception that human beings have of reality. And this, we might say, is just something that is a given to us, almost like our fundamental basic operating system as a human organism. We have this operating system that basically tells us that, hey, we're alive in a three-dimensional space. That's how our sensory perceptions render reality to us, right? It's like a three-dimensional space. There's objects in it. So it's sort of an objective world. There's objects with distinct boundaries. We can move them around. Stuff happens throughout linear time and space, you know, just kind of progresses linearly. We can't travel backwards in time. And this, we have a very hard time distinguishing this from how reality actually is, if we buy into naive realism. The model this creates for us is basically of the universe as this giant, empty, three-dimensional box with width, depth, and height. And there's like a bunch of bouncing particles inside, or objects, physical objects. Stuff is happening. They're obeying mechanistic laws. And that's basically what the universe is. This has been the prevailing notion for thousands of years. Although in the last 100 years, it's really been completely thrown into the garbage, shat upon by quantum mechanics and various discoveries within science. But generally, this goes completely unrecognized by mainstream culture and by most modern people, even the scientists who do some of these studies, right? And there's this very fundamental assumption that we have that when we close our eyes or we turn our back, the world is still there. The world is still there behind me. When I close my eyes, the camera is still there in front of me. Stuff is still happening. When I go to sleep, the world is running. And when I die, the world will continue to run. And before I was born, the world was running just the way that we think it does. Because there's stuff behind the scenes. We have this assumption of stuff behind the scenes. There's really stuff behind the scenes. And what I have here is just this kind of phenomenal field of colors and sensations and experiences. But this is all subjective. There's certainly an objective stuff behind the scenes world somewhere behind the curtain over there. That's basically the naive realist conception of the world. And it's really a very deep-seated paradigm. It's a set of belief systems, but even more than that, it's these I think they're hardwired into the human brain, really, set of assumptions. And it's very difficult to question these assumptions, but also can be very valuable. hate to break it to you, but Have you ever thought about naive realism? Have you ever bothered to sit down and really question it as a system to see if there's like inconsistencies there? Because if you ever do, it becomes patently absurd very, very quickly. It makes no sense whatsoever on multiple levels. It makes no sense on the common sense level. It makes no sense philosophically or rationally. It makes no sense scientifically, given new discoveries that we have from quantum mechanics and so forth. And it makes no sense experientially from an empirical perspective if you go and actually bother to do some serious empirical investigation. So let's talk about these various factors. First thing that I want you to do right now is just to become aware that what you have right here, right now in front of you, that you call reality, is this collection of sensations, right? Colors, sounds, feelings in your body. And that's basically it. That is what we call reality. This is your sensory field. But notice, even on the very basic common sense and scientific level, not even getting into quantum mechanics, just the very ordinary science, what do we know? We know that the brain renders this entire thing. What you call reality right now, look at it, look at this reality, become conscious of it. All of this, not just your body, not just your face, but other people, other objects, everything, science tells us, is being rendered by the brain. So all of this is mind. This is not physical right here. Look, look, I mean, just become conscious of this. Look at your hands. They're not physical. They appear physical. We call them physical. We like to think of them as physical. This is not physical. This is rendered right here by my brain. Okay? And this brain could stop rendering this at any moment. This is just very common sense stuff. But notice that under the naive realist paradigm, we walk around and we treat reality as though this hand is real, as though that object over there is real, as though that car, that tree, that person is a real physical thing. Why do we treat it that way? Well, one of the reasons is because even though this is not a physical phenomenon right here, it's so self-consistent that it sure feels like it's this hard, solid physical object because it's so self-consistent, right? We tend to have this idea that, well, if this hand isn't physical, that means like I should be able to like put my hand through it, and obviously I can't. Or I should be able to stick this hand in the fire and it shouldn't get hurt. Something like that. But this is a really silly notion, right? That has nothing to do with whether this hand is physical or not. Yeah, this hand is physical, but that doesn't mean that I can just like, that it's a ghost hand and I can just kind of like put my other hand right through it. That's not what non-physical means. We're certainly living in this matrix of phenomenon of colors and sensations and so forth, and it follows very consistent rules. But don't mistake that for evidence of physicality. Same. Certainly feels physical. But we know that this entire sensory field is just my brain rendering stuff. And if we take a look at all the other animals and creatures that exist in abundance around the whole planet, it's also pretty common sense, both common sense and scientific common sense, that those creatures have totally different perspectives of the world. So if there was a rattlesnake right here in this room, and it was looking at this room, it would see a very different version of this room than what I see of this room. It might have totally different colors, might have totally different notions of sound, or even other dimensions of phenomena that I have no access to whatsoever. And the more weird or alien the creature is from a human being, probably the more diversity and difference there will be between how that creature sees the world, right? Like very different. Try to imagine what it would be like if you were a bat or a rabbit or a snake, or even something more different than like a plant or a bacterium or a worm in the ground, right? You would see reality in a totally different way than a human being does. Now you might say, well, yeah, Leo, that makes all perfect sense. So what does this have to do with naive realism though and the nature of reality? Well, it has a lot to do with it. If you recognize this very important and often overlooked point, which is that the only thing you have of reality is this phenomenal field. Let me repeat that, because this is so fucking significant and so obvious that it's often very much overlooked. The only reason you even know that reality exists is because you have this phenomenal field. That's it. There is nothing more that you've ever experienced of reality but this phenomenal field. And any ideas you have of anything outside the phenomenal field is actually just a concept within the current phenomenal field. You see? It's like you're trying to get this, you're trying to reach outside of your phenomenal field, but no matter how far you reach or how hard you try, you can never escape the phenomenal field. That's all you have. That's all you'll ever have, even in theory, not to mention in practice. That's very important to understand, to really appreciate the significance of that. Because what this does is this really calls into question this assumption that there's stuff behind the scenes. We like to think that there's stuff behind the scenes. What if there is no other stuff behind the scenes? This notion of stuff behind the scenes, philosophically, is very problematic because it doesn't really answer anything, because it leads to this classical cosmological regress problem, infinite regress problem. There's actually a famous ancient myth. I think the origins of it are Indian, but we don't really know what the origins of it are. Ancient myth, and it's found in several different cultures. But basically what it says is this is the cosmic turtle myth. So, you know, thousands of years ago, when you asked a person, well, what is the world? What's the foundation for the world? He would say, well, according to this myth, we've got a flat earth with a dome. But then what's the foundation for that? Well, that sits on the back of four elephants. Well, what's the foundation for that? Well, the four elephants stand on a giant tortoise or turtle, the cosmic turtle. It's like, okay, well, that kind of makes some sense. If you were alive a couple thousand years ago, might have made some sense to you. But then it's like, well, wait a minute. What's the turtle standing on? And that's where the myth ends. There's nothing under the turtle. The turtle is just kind of floating in empty space. But even that, to say that the turtle is floating is empty space, still, that's a foundation itself, the empty space that the turtle is floating in. That's a sort of foundation, just a different kind, right? And of course, you see the problem here is that this myth doesn't really explain anything. To say that the world is sitting on top of a couple elephants, on top of a turtle, well, where does that really leave you? It leaves you exactly where you began. You didn't know what the world was when you started, and when you get to the bottom of this philosophical, metaphysical inquiry, you're still basically at the same place, except now you've made up some elephants and some turtles. Now, this might seem like silly, and you might say, well, yeah, Leo, we don't do that anymore. Actually, we do exactly this. This is exactly what modern science does. So I like to criticize modern science on this core issue right here. I mean, modern science is great at creating gadgets and stuff. Great. You can do some sophisticated calculations and predict trajectories of planets and orbits and launch spaceships, and that's all good stuff. But metaphysically, there's a deep problem here, because modern science has the exact same philosophical foundation as this cosmic turtle. Where did the universe come from? Oh, from the Big Bang. And where did the Big Bang come from? Well, who the fuck knows? We don't know. We can't say beyond that. I mean, Leo, we're not fucking omnipotent. We can't know everything. Our knowledge stops somewhere. This is the same problem that people have with the notion of God, traditional people. So God is a tricky concept because there's two different versions of this concept. Right now I'm talking about the basic kind of common mainstream notion of God. If your notion of God is as a God who sits in the clouds somewhere who created the universe, you've got the exact same problem as the scientists with the Big Bang theory, because you haven't explained anything, because now you have to explain where God came from. And that's like explaining where the turtle came from. It's like, well, the turtle always existed. Well, God always existed. Well, the Big Bang just kind of arose out of nowhere, or maybe it always existed and just keeps exploding and collapsing, exploding and collapsing. Some notion, something like this, right? The problem here is that the mind is playing a trick on you when you engage in this sort of philosophical, metaphysical hand-waving. That's what it is. It's hand-waving. You're ignoring the core issue in that you're not tackling head-on this assumption of stuff behind the scenes. That's the core problem that needs to be faced here. If you look at your phenomenal field very carefully for a long period of time, you will come to the inevitable conclusion that there is no stuff behind the scenes, and that the stuff behind the scenes is actually in the scenes. The scene is all there fucking is. And that no stuff behind the scenes has ever been found, nor will it be found, even on principle. It will not be found, because the stuff behind the scenes is already in the scenes, and it's a concept, and you're not seeing that it's a concept. Which means that it's an illusion that's fooling you. So the first thing you got to do is become mindful enough to see that stuff behind the scenes is a concept. And this is a paradigm. This is a very deep-seated assumption that you have about the fabric of reality, which is completely and utterly groundless. There's no evidence for it, no scientific evidence, and it doesn't even compute. Logically, it makes no sense how this could possibly be, because you're facing the mind-body problem. The classical philosophical problem, the mind-body problem, you know. How can mind arise out of body? What's the possible connection between mind and body? And this is a very deep problem. Hasn't been solved for thousands of years. And the reason it hasn't been solved is because it's based on very flawed existential premises about what reality is, right? It assumes stuff behind the scenes. And this is an assumption that you got to start to question. And when you really get mindful and you really spend a lot of time just observing the only thing you have of reality, which is your phenomenal field, it's possible to realize in one giant epiphany that the stuff behind the scenes, in a sense, it is existent. It's existent as nothing. This is a very interesting paradoxical sort of twist. The stuff behind the scenes, it's there, and it's not hidden from you. It's just nothing. It's literally nothing. That's what the stuff behind the scenes is. But that's not how you hold reality. When you walk out the door of your house to go to work, and you think back, you're like, oh yeah, my house is still back there, right? You're not actually perceiving at it for what it is, which is literally nothing in that moment, or a concept. Could be an image in your mind. That's fine. That's a concept, right? It's important to get mindful over all those things so that you're not sucked into the illusion. Here's the really deep truth about this assumption of stuff behind the scenes and why it's so difficult to let go of it. The mind has a really hard time stomaching the unpalatable truth that appearance has no origin but itself. It's like we're the person in that myth who's looking at the world, sitting on top of a couple of elephants, sitting on top of a turtle, and we just cannot stomach the idea that there can just be a world without a elephant and a turtle underneath it, right? The elephant and the turtle makes us feel good about our model of reality. And the same problem is happening with scientific people who cling to naive realism, and to everyday people who basically believe in naive realism without even understanding that they're believing in naive realism. Right? The default position, if you say you don't believe anything, the default position is that you're buying into naive realism. You see that? You're not escaping the problem by saying, oh, Leo, I don't do philosophy. That doesn't solve your problem. You're still completely absorbed in naive realism. it's really difficult for the mind to just accept that appearance can exist out of thin air. Appearance is the existence. It's the bottom line, right? We don't need an elephant underneath it, and then a turtle underneath that, and another thing underneath that, and another thing underneath that to explain appearance. Here's the thing that really boggles the mind. Is when you admit that the appearance is the reality and that there's no cause for it. There's no mechanistic explanation for it. The mind really hates this idea. Really hates this idea, because what it has to do then is it has to admit that all of reality is fundamentally unknown and mystical rather than physical and mechanistic. So another assumption that you have is that the world is mechanistic, and that for something to be or to exist, it has to come from something else. There has to be a cause to it, this cause and effect thing. And there has to be a mechanism. But what's the mechanism for the mechanism? Another mechanism? And what's the mechanism for that? Another mechanism? And what's the mechanism for that? Another mechanism? Where does it end? What's the fundamental fucking existential mechanism of all the mechanisms? There isn't one. Which is why I like this quote by Arthur C. Clarke. Arthur C. Clarke has this classic quote that science fiction nerds love, which is basically that a sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable to us from magic. And that makes sense. Maybe in 10,000 years, humanity will get to the point where if you were just dropped 10,000 years into the future, they would have such crazy technology that it would just blow your mind. You wouldn't even be able to believe that it's real. I mean, think about if we took a Greek, an ancient Greek from 2,000 years ago, and just kind of plopped him into the year 2000 and showed him the internet and cell phones and nuclear weapons and all this crazy stuff, electricity, you know, it would blow his mind. He'd probably have a psychotic breakdown from seeing all this technology. It would be unbelievable to him. Well, the same problem is happening on an even deeper level with reality itself, right? Reality itself really is indistinguishable from magic. It is mystical, and it will always be mystical, and there will never be a mechanical explanation for it. Because it is it. This is it. It's being, right? It's being. There's nothing underneath being. And if there is anything underneath being, there's nothing underneath that thing, right? It's got to end in nothing. A lot of atheists think that that's what they already believe. And they might think, well, Leo, yeah, you're just like arguing for atheism here. No. The typical atheist is in complete denial of what I'm saying, right? The typical atheist is a naive realist and a physicalist and believes in causal mechanical explanations. This is a no-go, right? This is completely irrational. It makes no sense whatsoever if you really investigate it. What you're actually doing as an atheist who believes in physicalism is that you're actually running away from the obvious fact that existence must be mystical and cannot possibly be any other way. That's what you're running away from. You're sweeping this under the rug with mechanical explanations. Your mechanical explanations are good for helping you to manipulate reality. Nothing wrong with manipulating reality. That's a useful, utilitarian sort of thing. We need that. But what we're interested here is not in how to manipulate reality, but what reality is. And what I'm claiming is that it's possible to actually have a direct empirical understanding or consciousness of what reality is. And when you have that consciousness, you'll realize that it's non-physical and that it's 100% mystical. And you're going to have this, oh my God moment, this massive, oh my God moment, when you realize that the very stuff you've been looking at the whole time is complete magic. It's just pure magic. That's what it is. It's just magic. That's what being is. It's magic. And you're never going to explain it away. And that any attempts you're making to explain it away are really your psyche not willing to humble itself to this, oh my God, experience. That's what you've been running away from your whole life as an atheist. And that's actually the thing you have in common with the typical religious person. That's what you've got in common, is that you're holding yourself back from saying, oh my God. The typical religious person believes in oh my God, but hasn't experienced oh my God. And then the third level of person is the one who's actually experienced oh my God. And so everything I'm saying here is only just to bully you into accepting and humbling yourself to go out there and find the oh my God, and to get rid of all the bullshit that's in the way of you finding the oh my God. And what is that? Well, it's all your beliefs. It's all your assumptions about how reality is. It's all your religious training and indoctrination. It's all your ideas about God and not God and atheism and science and all the ideologies you have and all the beliefs you have. All of that is in the way. And so what I want you to do is to undermine all that stuff, get rid of all these assumptions, to open yourself up to the mystical nature of reality itself. That's a very beautiful and amazing thing to actually experience, and it can be experienced. So that's the philosophical critique I have of naive realism. There's also, of course, the just very plain quantum mechanical problems with naive realism. For the last 100 years, our most advanced physicists and scientists have started to understand and have basically debunked naive realism and physicalism. Quantum mechanics tells us that there are no such thing as particles. There is no such thing as matter. There's not even such a thing as energy. Modern physics is basically founded upon fields. What are fields? Fields are infinite and non-physical conceptual constructs with values distributed in infinite directions in infinite ways. And this is a field, and we have multiple of these fields that science posits, and we treat these fields as though, like, oh yeah, we understand the electric field, the gravitational field, the magnetic field, the whatever other kind of field, the Higgs boson field. But all of these fields are just, it's just like hand waving. It's just like, oh yeah, it's a field. I mean, what's the fucking difference between a field, between God, and between nothingness? There's no difference. People get really caught up on these words like, oh yeah, well, it's a field. It's a field, so it's not God. Or it's like, well, it's God, so it's not a field. What's the difference? You're using words and explanations to hide the fact that you don't really fucking know what the thing is, which is that it's mystical and that you'll never know because you can't know because it's not physical. It's not mechanistic. See, that's an assumption that might need to be questioned and dropped. Now, I'm not going to get into all the technical details of quantum mechanics because that's a very complex field and it's easy to botch up that field and to use it to rationalize all sorts of stuff. And people in the New Age movement have done that. They've used quantum mechanics to justify things like law of attraction, whatever. And I'm not a big fan of that. But if you go actually study the works of some of the deepest quantum physicists, you see that the discoveries they made have really shaken their metaphysical foundations of what reality is. Like, it's really changed how they see the world. But that hasn't really percolated through mainstream culture because it's so radical and it seems so far-fetched. And naive realism is so firmly rooted in the brain and in the psyche that we just can't seem to let go of it. And it might take another 1,000 years before it really percolates through to mainstream culture, to the point where everyone that you meet on the street is like, oh yeah, I understand the ramifications of quantum mechanics. But anyways, that's enough of quantum mechanics. I'm not going to go into the details there. Maybe I'll shoot an episode in the future about quantum mechanics. Let me address a couple of objections. So you might be listening to this and you might think, well, Leo, so sounds like instead of realism, what you're arguing for is here idealism, right? In philosophy, there's this distinction between realism and idealism. And so what you're just saying is idealism, right? So am I supposed to now believe in idealism? No, I'm not arguing for idealism. What I'm arguing for is that you prove to yourself that reality is mystical. And that's possible to prove. You can prove it with psychedelics. You can prove it with meditation. You can prove it with self-inquiry. Prove it to yourself. Have the oh my God moment so that you can realize once you have the oh my God moment that, oh, yeah, I've just been running away from it. I've been trying to sweep this oh my God moment under the rug. And when you have that oh my God moment, you'll understand why you've been sweeping it under the rug. There's some very good reasons for why you were doing it. It's not an accident. Now, another objection is you might say, well, Leo, isn't this just semantics? So you're saying that reality's not physical. But what's the difference? Whether I believe reality's physical or non-physical, what difference does it make? Sounds like this is just philosophy, just words, right? No, actually, there is an important difference. Because when you believe that reality is physical and mechanistic, then you treat it as such. You live your life in that manner. Your values and your priorities are materialistic. When you start to open yourself up to the fact that reality is non-physical, that it's consciousness, your values start to change. Your priorities start to change. Your view of death starts to change. Your view of what you're here to do in life starts to change. Your understanding of the meaning of life starts to change. Your mind radically opens up to studying new fields that you would never otherwise study. To even make the shift from physical to non-physical, you're going to have to undermine a lot of the very core, deep existential assumptions you have about reality. And that in and of itself will hugely free your mind and open you up and create this very powerful, radical open-mindedness in you, which will then create a very great foundation from which you can go out and do the deep research you need to do and start to discover that there's a lot of amazing phenomenon, non-ordinary, non-mainstream phenomenon that is possible with personal development and with spiritual development. You cannot be open to those things as long as you believe that reality is physical. And one of the most important things that I've been doing over the last year is really systematically undermining my paradigm that reality is physical. I'm just like most people, right? I come from this strong paradigm that reality is physical. And I still largely have it. It's not like I can just undermine this paradigm at will. It's so deeply rooted in my psyche that I can't. I still largely feel that reality is three-dimensional and that it happens linearly across time and that when I close my eyes, the room I'm standing in still exists out there, right? I still largely believe all these things, but I have been systematically undermining it and it's been opening me up so much. And man, this is the thing you got to do if you're really serious about personal development. This is the thing that most people dismiss as philosophy, but which is absolutely vital if you want to get to the advanced stages of personal development, beyond the shallow Tony Robbins sort of stuff where you're just like shooting for success, right? In your relationships, in your business, and in your career. If you want to go beyond that, you got to get existential. You got to get metaphysical. You got to question these very core assumptions. To recap, let me just be very clear about what I'm saying here, in case it's not clear. What I'm saying is that space does not exist. Time does not exist. Matter and energy do not exist. These things are not real. These had to be created. You see, you can't take this shit for granted. You can't take for granted that the world is occurring within space. Where is space occurring in? You can't take for granted that the world is occurring within time. Where is time occurring in? This stuff had to be created. And I don't mean that it was created by some sort of God out there somewhere. What I mean is that your mind created it. Your mind created space. Your mind created time. Your mind created energy and matter and the whole concept of a physical world. Your mind created all this, but you take it for granted. It's extremely eye-opening when you undermine, when you successfully undermine all these core assumptions and you look upon the world and you realize as though you just woke up from a daze, like, oh my God, I can't believe I ever took these assumptions for granted. They're such silly assumptions. But they were so deep and so central to my entire perspective of the world that I had no idea they were assumptions until I really dug deep and undermined them. It's very important that you undermine your physicalist paradigm if you're going to do any kind of serious consciousness work. And what that means is that you undermine the notion that reality is three-dimensional, undermine the notion that reality is linear and occurs through time, undermine the notion that you are a conscious entity within a physical body, undermine the notion that you have a physical brain which renders this phenomenal field. That's not how it works. It's rather the other way around, is that the brain is rendered within the phenomenal field. Now you might ask, well, Leo, what renders the phenomenal field? And now you're asking the turtle question. You know, what's the world sitting on? Well, should I tell you that it's sitting on an elephant and a turtle? Or are you going to be mature enough to say that, you know what, we don't need the elephant and we don't need the turtle? Let's face the thing head on. The phenomenal field is what it is. It's what it is. It's reality. That's what reality is. And your job is to surrender to what's true. You see, the whole problem here is that you don't want to accept what's true. What's true is so fucking incredible that you can't accept it. That's the whole problem. It requires a very deep surrender. You can't just will yourself to accept this shit because it's utterly, radically life-shattering stuff. What I'm talking about here. This shit will completely transform your entire life if you ever get to the bottom of this. It's not a little like, oh yeah, yeah, I know reality is not physical, let's go to the movie sort of thing. It's not like that. It's like, no, it's like a fucking, oh my fucking God. This means that everything I've ever known about reality is completely wrong, and what the fuck am I even doing here? It's more like that. It's a very emotional thing. It's not a rational, intellectual thing. It's a very deeply emotional thing. And you have to really undermine this idea that the stuff, like when you close your eyes, that you think that there's stuff there, and that the way you see the world, like if I'm seeing objects, that that means that there actually are objects. The world has these boundaries and it's objective and it, like, it's out there somewhere and it's physical and it's solid and there's like real stuff. There's little molecules floating around everywhere. Those molecules are making up me and they're making up my family members and they're making up my car and my house and all that whole thing you have to undermine. So you stop seeing reality that way. Like, just stop it. Stop seeing reality that way. That's only one way to see reality and it's completely illusory. There's nothing true about it. It's utterly unnecessary, and it's not scientific either. If you think you fancy yourself a scientifically minded person, drop all that shit, because none of that is scientific. Science has never proven the existence of the external world. Never, and it never will. It can't. Not even in principle. That's not what science is. To appreciate what science is, I'm not throwing science under the bus here. Science is important. To appreciate what science is, though, that's another deep rabbit hole that I can't get into here, right? But there's good stuff in science. Definitely good stuff in science. But it's very easy to take that good stuff in science and then misinterpret that and then create this sort of metaphysical foundation for science, which just has nothing to do with reality. Science is actually the best when it's highly pragmatic, when it ignores metaphysics. That's good, but that doesn't mean that metaphysics should be totally ignored. The way science often likes to say. Science like to say that, oh, well, science is all that's important because you can't do metaphysics because science is limited to only the pragmatic stuff. That's true. Science is limited to that. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing valuable to be gained from doing the metaphysics. So how do you undermine this paradigm? Well, you question the hell out of it. And if you want, for the time being, what you can do is you can actually adopt opposite beliefs. This is a good strategy, right? I'm not telling you to believe and take what I say here on faith, that reality is non-physical. It doesn't really do you much good just to now walk around believing, oh, reality is non-physical, except in that it can be a little bit practical. Because if you're so bought into believing that reality is physical, that you can't shake that paradigm. What you can do is you can adopt some opposite beliefs and apply a lot of skepticism to this paradigm just so that you can kind of jostle it and break it free, break it loose, and nullify it, which is very different from just blindly believing what I'm telling you here, right? You would really do yourself a disservice if you said, well, yeah, okay, Leo, I agree with you. Fuck physicalism. Reality is non-physical. Okay, let's go live life that way now. That would be a deep mistake. What I'm telling you to do is to really investigate your most core metaphysical assumptions about reality. Air them out. Really air them out. Really undermine them to such an extent that your mind starts to free up and you don't know what to believe anymore. And you're so confused and you're so lost and you're so disoriented that maybe, just maybe, for the first time, you look upon the phenomenal field and see it for exactly what it is and not all the shit that you think it is and all the interpretations that you've had about it your whole life. So basically, this is a form of removing the filters, removing the interpretations, the little hidden, sneaky, very subtle assumptions that you've been making about reality, with the ultimate aim of setting your mind completely free and having this oh my God experience. When your mind becomes totally free, you will have this oh my God experience. It will be the most important experience of your life. It'll shake everything you think you know about life and death and people and things and yourself and consciousness and reality and personal development and spiritual development and what's possible and what's not possible and so on and so forth. And that's the only thing that I really care about is getting you to that point. So everything I'm saying here, be very careful not to mistake it for ideology. When I do one of these rants, I hope you can appreciate that I do these rants mostly for entertainment purposes, not because I'm an ideologue. Don't mistake a forceful communication, a clear and direct forceful communication, of taking a stance on something as me now being an ideologue. I don't hold these as beliefs too seriously. I'm just sharing with you some insights that I've had over the last year that have been very helpful for me in a very utilitarian sense to set my mind a little bit more free and allow me to have more direct experiences, more higher consciousness in my everyday life. And when you get a taste of that, you'll see the benefits. The deep mistake would be to take this as a new ideology for yourself. That would have the exact opposite effect. So be very careful about that. All right, that's it. I'm done here. So please click the like button for me. Post your comments down below. Share this episode with a friend. Come check out actualize.org right here. This is my newsletter. I've got some cool resources there. Check out the forum. We have cool discussions there. I personally answer many questions on the forum, give people advice where I can, and so do many other of the members there. So they could help you out if you're just getting started on this journey and you have some weird questions or you feel confused. That's a good place to go. Check out my life purpose course. Check out my book list. A lot of the deepest topics that I'll be talking about in the future, you will not be able to understand if you don't read some of the books on my book list. It's very important that you invest a little bit more into this process than just watching videos. Watching videos is a good place to start, but you need to put a little bit more skin into the game if you're really serious about seeing the profound results that are possible with this work. I am not an ideologue. I am not here to preach a philosophy or an ideology to you. I don't care about that stuff. Anything that I preach to you is done in a very utilitarian sense. It's just for didactic purposes. It's a teaching aid. That's all it is. It's partially entertainment and partially just bringing stuff to your awareness. And then you got to do the hard consciousness work yourself. And you got to read between the lines and not get lost in the personality, the entertainment of it, and the words and the language. All this stuff is just, it's stuff. It's communication. Communication is imperfect. This is how it has to be. Every communication is a metaphor. You might wonder why I don't directly talk about enlightenment all the time. You might wonder, like, well, Leo, why don't you just turn this channel into a channel about enlightenment? Just talk about enlightenment all the time. Well, the reason I don't do that is because actually I don't feel like there's much to say about enlightenment. Enlightenment is unspeakable. The only thing to say that's worthwhile to say about enlightenment is techniques to help you to achieve it, and any kind of motivation or inspiration to help you to get off your fucking ass, stop being complacent, and do the fucking work. That's the only value in talking about enlightenment. Frankly, it's not even that interesting to me to teach enlightenment, because there's nothing to say about it. If you care about enlightenment, go fucking do the work. Do the self-inquiry. By the way, on the forum, I have a whole guide, Leo's Practical Guide to Enlightenment. Go follow that guide and become enlightened. I don't need to say anything more about it. There's like not much to say. You either will fucking do the work and you will become enlightened through it, or you won't. And to me, this notion of being a teacher who just talks about enlightenment over and over and over fucking again, it doesn't make much sense. To me, what's more interesting is actually talking about the other important aspect of your life, which is beyond enlightenment, which is personal growth. Developing the quality of your consciousness, its mastery of yourself, which extends far beyond enlightenment. The enlightenment is important, but there's a lot more interesting topics to talk about within self-mastery, which is what I call self-actualization. I love talking about that stuff. I do love talking about enlightenment too, so we're going to have a mix of all these things together in the future. Stick around for deeper topics to come. If you know what enlightenment is and you understand it, then go do the fucking work. You don't need me to be up here telling you what to do about enlightenment. It's very fucking simple. Sit down and do the self-inquiry, and everything else is a distraction. So if you care about enlightenment, do that. And if you don't care about enlightenment, well, stick around. Maybe what you need is you just need some more inspiration. Maybe you need me to preach to you and to say these interesting things, these philosophically sounding interesting things about what absolute infinity is and various psychedelic trips that I've had and other cool things that I've discovered. And then maybe at some point it'll click and you'll be like, oh, I can experience it for myself. And I'm just distracting myself with all this fucking theory. Well, I guess it's time to buckle down, sit down, and do the dirty work that I didn't want to do, that I've been avoiding for the last 3 years. Okay, well, maybe it'll take you 3 years to get there. And that's fine too, right? This is a process. Everyone's in a different place in this process. So I'm not here to judge. You know, wherever you're at is where you're at. Just realize what my communications are and what my communications are not. All right, that's very important. Some people lose sight of that point. But anyways, that's it. Stick around for more in the future, and I'll see you soon.